This is the Plant Fueled Podcast. My name is Cass Warbeck. I'm a doctor, plant-based athlete, and vegan lifestyle advocate. This podcast is all about sharing conversations that will elevate your performance and your health. You know how it's well acknowledged that our gut microbiome has an incredible influence on our health? Well, were you also aware that our gut microbiome influences and may even enhance athletic performance as well? That's what this conversation is all about. My guest today is Dr. Jonathan Scheiman, the co-founder and CEO of FitBiomics, a biotechnology startup that is sequencing the microbiome of elite athletes to identify and develop next-generation probiotics with the goal of optimizing the health of the broader population. Jonathan received his PhD in biomedicine from NYU, which he actually jokes was his backup plan for not making it to the NBA. So prior to this, he played Division I basketball at St. John's University. Following completion of his PhD, he did his postdoctoral fellowship at the Weiss Institute for Biologically Inspired Engineering at Harvard, where his research focused on one pivotal question: how can decoding the microbiome of the fittest people in the world benefit the health and wellness of everyone? In this conversation, we discuss which performance factors are influenced by the microbiome, the incredible power of the gut microbe-derived short-chain fatty acids, the discovery of a bacteria in endurance athletes that metabolizes lactate, performance-enhancing probiotics, and so much more. But before we jump into the conversation, I need to share something exciting. The FitBiomics team is offering my listeners an exclusive discount on Nella, their leading performance probiotic. Nella is a next-gen probiotic capsule clinically validated to deliver improved sleep quality, energy, and digestion. It is made with lactobacillus strains decoded and isolated from the microbiome of the fittest and healthiest people thriving in the modern world. I've actually personally been taking Nella for a few weeks now since recording this interview, and it's probably too soon to report on any subjective changes, but I'll take all the help I can get as I balance my residency with my MMA training. So if you want to join me and jump on this offer, use the promo code CASS10 for 10% off your monthly Nella subscription. Link to Nella is below in the show notes. One last note. We do discuss at one point the option of applying to be in a trial study for their upcoming Veonella probiotic. Unfortunately, the deadline for this has now passed, but be sure to follow along with what FitBiomics is doing so you can keep up to date on new and exciting innovations. Anyways, I'm sorry for the long intro, but please do enjoy this conversation. Jonathan, thank you for being here. I've been really looking forward to our conversation. You have no idea how excited I am to learn more about your work and everything that you were involved in. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Yeah, exciting to be here. It's awesome to connect with you and have an opportunity to chat.
Yeah, there's so much I want to get into. And our conversation is really going to focus on the connection between athletic performance and the gut microbiome. But before we really get into that, I would love if you could speak a little bit about your own athletic background. I understand that you are a pretty good basketball player.
Well, I mean, pretty good is relative. If I was that good of a basketball player, probably never would have became a scientist. But yeah, you know, the story goes, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in New York City, obviously had hoop dreams as most kids in the city do. I actually went to and walked on to St. John's basketball team, you know, here in Jamaica, Queens. Had a pretty good basketball team. You know, the year before I joined, the school went to the Elite Eight. My freshman year, we won the Big East Championship. We're number two seed in the tournament. My senior year, we won the NIT, but again, I've said this everywhere all over the internet, but I wasn't good enough to make the NBA. So my backup was getting a PhD in biomedicine. But, you know, I just got to say, like, for real, my dream was to play professional basketball. Didn't exactly work out, but, you know, I have an opportunity to work, you know, with professional athletes and what I'm doing now. So I guess sometimes things happen the way they're supposed to be.
Yeah, very cool. I think you're doing a lot of exciting things right now. And I'd say a PhD backup's not a bad career plan B. I'd just before we move on from here, can you share the best memory or a highlight of playing like high level basketball? Like what excites you the most when you think back on it?
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, Carmelo Anthony just announced his retirement from the NBA, I guess that after 20 years. Actually, my senior year, we played against Carmelo Anthony in Syracuse, and that was the year Syracuse won the national championship. And I remember we should have won that game. We were up 5 points with like a minute to go, but Jerry McNamara hit 2 threes at the end of the game to kind of steal that. But there's so many memories. I mean, you play against so many great players, like going to Duke, playing in Duke and Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was one of the best environments I've played in, playing in Madison Square Garden, playing against UConn, playing against, you know, eventual national champions, and then seeing folks play in the NBA, winning the Big East championship was such an amazing experience. So I don't know. There's just so many. And, you know, looking back, you realize how lucky you are to be a part of that and, you know, experience these things. And in many ways, how being an athlete and a basketball player actually shapes you to being a better scientist or being a better entrepreneur. I think there's so many, you know, commonalities between these different sort of, you know, crafts, which has, I think, enabled me on my professional journey as well.
Yeah. Can we actually talk about that a little bit more? Because like say, you have skills, like you have achieved high level performance in not just sport, but academics as well. And I think I even read that you're musically gifted as well. So like, what do you think are some of the skills or attributes that you have that have allowed you to excel in so many domains? Like what is some of the crossover that you can speak to?
Well, I mean, this is an opportunity to give a shout out to New York, which is where I come from. I grew up in Greenwich Village, which is probably one of the most diverse neighborhoods in, you know, in the city, if not the country, if not the world. And I think, you know, you're right. I went to Fame High School, performing arts. I was a tuba player. I then went on to play basketball at St. John's and then get a PhD in biomedicine. But, you know, I think in all these sort of systems or fields, at the end of the day, you're always part of a team, whether that's a jazz ensemble, an orchestra, a basketball team, a research lab, early stage startup company. You're sort of in these tight-knit units where you have to sort of find a way to collaborate and synergize. Everyone sort of has to be a superstar in their role for the common goal. And one thing I'll say too is, you know, whether it's, you know, jazz bands, whether it's basketball, whether it's PhD research, wet lab research, or entrepreneurship, you know, I think the level of just work ethic, you know, and meticulous sort of practice, if you will, whether that's getting up 1,000 shots, whether that's practicing sort of like, you know, scales and chords, or whether that's, you know, running dozens or hundreds of sort of experiments and then rapidly analyzing data and then iterating on it. It's got, you know, I always say this, you know, I also coached high school basketball as well. You know, when you're sort of coaching so much like in-game adjustments, analysis, play calling, it's in many ways the same as, again, being in a research lab and like analyzing experiments. Okay, what's the next thing that I need to do to sort of like, you know, ask the right question or get the right answer ultimately to solve a problem. So a lot of it is community, teams, and sort of rapid analysis. And I think all these things are very common.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. What actually inspired you to study molecular biology, taking a step back here? Like what set you on that path towards what you ultimately ended up studying for your PhD?
Yeah, this is actually another commonality with, I guess, art and architecture. I remember I was always fascinated by the term, and this was an architectural term, form fits function. And I think, you know, growing up, my parents always took me to a lot of places, you know, Comic-Con and stuff like that, but also museums and aquariums and zoos. And I was always just fascinated by natural diversity and evolution and just looking at different organisms and animals and species and how they have specific traits that are basically essential for their environments. So I was just always fascinated by evolution and form fits function. And then if you go into sort of like biology, that essentially means genotype to phenotype. So, and then even taking a step back, comparing it to athletics, you know, I always say this as a joke, like I didn't make the NBA, you know, like the 0.00001% of the population makes the NBA or the WNBA. But it's also fascinating to think about from a molecular biology standpoint, like what is unique or enriched in the biology of those super performers that enable them to overcome these odds. But you could think about that in every sort of aspect of evolution and performance or human fitness. So for me, like the underlying molecular cues and like causes for specific traits or performance benefits is something that always fascinated me.
So you got your PhD from NYU, I believe, and then you did a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard, if I'm getting that correct. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when along this pathway did you found Fit Biomics? And can you maybe just describe a little bit about what Fit Biomics is?
Yeah, so I was very fortunate. When I went to Harvard, I was a postdoc in George Church's lab, but at a specific institute. It was called the Wyss Institute for Biologically Inspired Engineering. And from that name, you could even already get a sense for how maybe it meshes well with some of my passions. And the whole premise of that institute is learning from nature, learning from evolution, and how nature has found solutions for all sorts of interesting problems, both from a human health or even planetary health perspective, and then apply those learnings to like engineer even new solutions for the problems of our time. And that's essentially, if you will, the premise behind FitBiomics. So as you alluded to, really what FitBiomics is doing is, so we're a bioscience microbiome company, and essentially we're decoding the biology of the most fit people in the world, trying to understand what makes them unique from a physiological perspective, but then ultimately apply those learnings and translate them into health solutions for the broader population. You know, I mentioned the microbiome. You know, you probably know it's an invoked term, but this is, you know, an ecosystem, you know, trillions of microorganisms that live in and on our body that greatly influence everything from development to health to longevity. And basically what we're doing is we're working with elite athletes as a model for optimal health and performance. And then seeing, you know, in their microbiome, what microorganisms are unique or enriched in their gut that drive things such as endurance, strength, mental toughness, recovery, and applying those learnings for all sorts of human health and longevity solutions.
Fascinating. I think what's really cool about what you guys are doing is you're not just trying to make the best of the best better. You're trying to like decide like what do all these athletes have in common? What are some of the things that we can learn from them and apply it to everyone? So I think in that way, you're really like the work you're doing can benefit not just athletes, but like regular people that just want to like show up to their day-to-day life better.
Absolutely. And that's the goal, right? I think, you know, the traditional paradigm in biotech or biomedicine is to study disease, what doesn't work, what's broken, how can we correct it to promote health? And again, just going back, you know, I'm a big believer in form fits function, natural selection, natural evolution. So taking an opposite approach, what is working or what's enriched in the most fit people in the world? And then again, applying those learnings to help everyone from a health perspective. And really that's our mission and our goal.
So cool. So I guess the focus of this conversation will be a little bit more on like the athletic performance side, but I guess maybe just to start that out, like what factors of athletic performance do you think are influenced by our gut microbes? You mentioned a few earlier, and one of them really surprisingly, like mental toughness. Like, so I guess what are some of the things that come to mind when you think about like gut microbiome influence on performance?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is everything, right? Again, if you think of just from a biological and physiological perspective, we are as much bacteria as we are human. So we have trillions of microorganisms predominantly in our gut. You know, when we think about things from an athletic perspective, you know, again, endurance, strength, mental toughness, recovery, really physiologically, these are just energy metabolism, protein metabolism, neurology, immunology. You know, we know that our microbiome influences all of those things, right? So most of the foods that we eat, our body actually doesn't digest them. You know, all the microbes in our gut are the ones that break them down into different sorts of nutrients and macromolecules for our body to absorb. That goes from carbohydrates to even proteins and things of that nature. You know, we mentioned neurology and mental toughness. You know, we know that the microbes in our gut produce all sorts of neurotransmitters, and you know, the gut-brain axis is a huge emergent field of research in this area. And we could get into that further. And then finally, you know, if we think about recovery and inflammation and immunology, you know, 70% of our immune system interacts with the microbes in our gut. So think about this ecosystem, you know, the second brain. You know, we have 100 times more bacterial genes in our body as we do human genes. I mean, anything you could think of, right? This community is interacting with our body, our biology, and driving all sorts of interesting health and performance functions. And again, traditionally, this is applied towards disease and what's like, you know, out of balance in disease, you know, like IBD or, you know, Crohn's or C. diff. But again, imagine going the other way and looking what's enriched in these sorts of interesting, phenotypes, if you will.
Yeah. It's even in like my realm of medicine, it's something we're learning about more and more, and how like the gut microbiome has like an effect on literally every human disease out there. And it's fascinating as we start to kind of decode some of the intricacy of this. I think one thing that I've heard that is that generally there's a healthy microbiome that I guess is more associated with better health outcomes, less disease. And typically we hear like more diversity. What's termed healthy in the general population, is that similar or different from like what an athlete might possess?
Yeah, that's a tricky, question. I do think in general, you could understand a lot about systems when looking at what's broken, right? So I think, if you look at diseased microbiomes, you might be able to see things that are depleted or enriched and, but even then that's hard. I don't really know if we could say conclusively, this is a healthy microbiome, because actually there's tremendous amount of variability from person to person in terms of microbiomes. I think you hit it on the head. In general, the thought is that more diverse microbiomes, both from a compositional standpoint, a gene content standpoint, but also functional, metabolic pathway standpoint, the better it is. And there are many reasons for that. I mean, I think there's all sorts of complexities in our environment and what we face on a daily basis. So again, the more diverse your microbial repertoire is, probably the better you are at being able to combat or withstand different sorts of environmental pressures, if you will. What I can say is this is an interesting sort of maybe bit of a tangent. Working with elite athletes, this is kind of from a population perspective, they are statistically as rare as centenarians. So people that live to 100 years old, they both represent the 0.01% of the human population. So that's effectively the 1 in 10,000 phenotype, if you will. And if you just think about looking at beneficial microbes from a signal to noise ratio, if you could decode the general population, you're going to see a tremendous amount of like microbial variations in diversity. But now if you sort of like reel that in and just look at the 1 in 10,000 sort of phenotype, you're going to see a much stronger signal of things that are enriched or unique in their microbiomes compared to the general population. So what we're doing is, while there may not be such thing as a quote unquote healthy microbiome, we could use the rarity of these phenotypes to maybe see what's driving their form, fits, function, or specific physiological demands.
Cool. That makes sense. Before we go any deeper into this, can you just quickly define genotype and phenotype, just for any listeners that maybe aren't familiar with those terms?
Yeah. So genotype is effectively like our genetic blueprint, our DNA. So, we all have, humans are more than 99% genetically identical in terms of their DNA. Now, that less than 1% genomic variability is what determines differences in sort of like organisms and, our functions and health and disease. And the phenotypes basically are the physical manifestations of our genetic material. So again, by and large, most, humans are over 99% identical in terms of their genotype. But again, that less than 1% leads to all sorts of like diversity in terms of our physical manifestations or our phenotypes. So again, you could look at very unique phenotypes. This could be diseased or this could be super performers. And then try and backtrack from a genetic or metagenome perspective, what is driving these distinct phenotypes?
Thank you. Thank you for that. So I think one of the things that's very fascinating about the microbiome, and you mentioned that like the microbiome has a unique like genotype, there's like DNA here, and we cannot change our own DNA. I guess we can exchange the expression of our genes, but we actually do have some control, in my understanding, of our microbiome's DNA. And so in your experience and your research and your knowledge, how like malleable is the microbiome?
I think that's the exciting thing about microbiome research. To your point, genetic research, a lot of that is very deterministic. It's hard to change genetic material. I mean, you know, there's CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing. You know, there's all sorts of gene therapy tools. You know, you also could do a lot of real interesting work with stem cells and induced pluripotent stem cells. But to your point, I think the microbiome is very interesting and exciting because it is dynamic. It is something that changes. It's something that you could extract. It's something that you could, you know, somewhat manipulate. It's something that you could transfer. We know that with fecal transplants. And to your point, actually, a lot of our microbiome composition and functionality is influenced by diet, right? So what we eat has a major influence on our microbial composition, environmental exposure, antibiotic usage, physical activity. Actually, personal genetics has the least amount of impact on our microbiome. So what I love about it is it's something that, to your point, is malleable, that you could change and use those changes to actually infer health benefits, which is really exciting.
Yeah. I think, and one of the things that like we're going to start talking about is how exercise can modulate the microbiome as well. And before we kind of get into that whole realm, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I think you had mentioned this previously, is our microbiome takes what we eat and can create metabolites. So it ferments and creates like things like short chain fatty acids. It's my understanding is one of the examples of like things that our bacteria create that can then influence our own physiology. Would you mind just talking about that briefly, like what exactly short chain fatty acids are and some of the effects on human health?
I think to your point, you know, if you think about the microbiome, there's a lot of ways they could have, you know, functional effects on, you know, the human body. You know, simply that could be they break down things, but it could also be they convert different molecules or metabolites into something else that might be beneficial. You know, obviously from their cell surface and molecular patterns, they could interact with the immune system, things of that nature. But to your point, I think one of the key things that microbes in our gut produce for short chain fatty acids, these are, you know, metabolites that have all sorts of interesting benefits. Predominantly what they do, and there are three in particular, you know, acetate, butyrate, and propionate. And by and large, these are synthesized, you know, they interact with things it could be fibers. We'll get into the second, it could be things like lactic acid. And basically they use these different fibers or lactic acid or other sort of molecules as carbon sources in food. And then they have all sorts of enzymes, you know, to now then break them down into these short chain fatty acids. And basically short chain fatty acids could effectively serve as energy for different cells in our body, but they could also have, you know, anti-inflammatory functions in our body and interact with cell surface receptors. They could sort of, you know, activate helper T cells, which could also sort of reduce inflammation. So, you know, that's a long good way of saying is that the microbes in our gut eat and convert different foods or molecules that our body is producing, convert them into these short chain fatty acids, which could either serve as energy or anti-inflammatory, you know, properties in our body.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. I remember the first time I think I read about how we can actually absorb like short chain fatty acids, these things our gut bacteria make, into our systemic circulation. And then our bodies have receptors that respond to these molecules. Like it's a pretty incredible connection we have with our gut, to be honest. Yeah. I think I was reading one study, or it was in I'll mention the name. In preparation for this conversation, one of the articles I was reading was called The Athletic Gut Microbiome. And I realized like later, you're actually a co-author on this. So for anyone that wants to dive into this deeper, I have linked a lot of articles below in the show notes. So everyone can like check those out and read a bit more. But one of the things I was learning is that like short chain fatty acid short chain fatty acids are associated with like reduced blood pressure and increased like muscle insulin sensitivity and these things, which are things that we don't typically attribute to like our gut microbiome, but there's connection nonetheless. So I'm sure we'll discover more of these things as research progresses.
But again, you know, it's just, again, think about this is, again, we're as much bacteria as we are human. Mm-hmm. They're digesting foods that our body can't digest. They're interacting with the majority of our immune system. They're producing neurotransmitters. They're creating those metabolites that our body can't. I mean, this is like a symbiotic relationship that we've co-evolved and, you know, developed with these microbes, and they're essential components, right, of our body. Mm-hmm. And to your point, it's like this fermentation factory where everything we put into our body is now getting digested and converted by these microbes. And by the way, now I think you could get a sense of, you know, especially from like a disease perspective, if maybe your microbiome is depleted in certain beneficial microbes that develop, you know, anti-inflammatory short chain fatty acids, this could lead to all sorts of problems, you know. Beyond just athletics, just think about how right now our food industry is effectively determining our health, right? Because now you're talking about Western diets with high sugar, high fat, high salt, processed foods. And again, if diet is the biggest thing that's shaping our microbiome, if you're putting in a bunch of bad foods, you're depleting all the beneficial microorganisms. And now you have this microbial ecosystem that's out of whack. So again, a lot of this is form fits function and has very real world impacts on just societal health. So it's a very, you can see I'm passionate about the field in general.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I think I'd like to get into some of your research specifically. So I believe that you did a research study looking at marathon runners. And from my understanding is you actually isolated a strain of bacteria that was shown to metabolize lactate. And this blew my mind when I first read about it. Could you please talk us through like some of the details and like what you guys discovered?
Yeah, this was how effectively Fit Biomics got started, right? We had this crazy hypothesis at the time, crazy hypothesis. And that says something for a lot of these ideas that are coming out in biotech, the fact that this was crazy. You know, this notion of let's look at the microbiome of these elite athletes, you know, they're sort of these elite phenotypes and what maybe microbes are enriched in our gut to drive physiology. And, you know, I did my postdoc at Harvard. So in Boston, you know, for whatever reason, the types of phenotypes that are rich there are like endurance, right? So this is kind of like runners and rowers. So there's marathon runners, there's ultra marathon runners that run 100 miles at a time. And then, you know, there's like the head of the Charles and sort of like Olympic trial rowers. So basically, we started this study back in spring of 2015, right in time for the Boston Marathon. And I effectively, you know, for 2 weeks, traveled around Boston 8 hours a day collecting stool from folks that were running in the Boston Marathon. And this was effectively like a longitudinal analysis of the microbiome of runners pre and post the race. So, you know, effectively performance and recovery phases. And then we compared them to sedentary controls, so people that weren't running the marathon. And then we collected, you know, stool from ultra marathon runners and rowers. And what we found was that like almost immediately after strenuous exercise or competition or marathons, that this one microbe bloomed in the gut of these athletes. And the name of this microorganism is Vianella. And what was interesting is that Vianella is unique in its ability to eat lactic acid, which is a byproduct of strenuous exercise and associated with fatigue, and then convert that into short chain fatty acids, which in turn are energy sources and anti-inflammatory. So this was a huge light bulb moment for us. And again, identifying a microbe that effectively could potentially combat fatigue and promote endurance through this lactic acid metabolism pathway. So, you know, this was exciting. It, you know, and obviously it led to all sorts of other questions and experiments and things of that nature.
Yeah, no, it's so cool. I honestly did not, like, I wouldn't have even thought that serum lactate would cross like the epithelial barrier into the gut lumen in the first place. Like I wouldn't have thought that there's any need for that. And yet you guys did experiments that show that it's bidirectional. So it can like pass in and out of the gut is my understanding.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, it's also interesting here. We talk about the gut brain axis, the gut immune axis. I mean, think about, and you alluded to this too, about insulin sensitivity. You know, think about the gut muscle axis and effectively, you know, through exercise, you know, sort of your mitochondria and muscles are producing lactic acid. It's, you know, to be used as an energy source. When sort of the body is producing it at a higher rate than it could actually be utilized, that's when it sort of accumulates in the blood and, you know, lactic acid threshold. It's not necessarily causing fatigue, but it's kind of like a marker for fatigue. you know, 90% of it filters through the liver and gets converted into glucose. But what we found is that a significant percentage of it actually goes into the gut, where it can interact with microbes like Vianella and then can convert it into short chain fatty acids and now go back into the blood and have benefits on the host.
So do you think there's a couple of different mechanisms through which it could enhance performance then? Do you think generally it's allowing faster lactate clearance is beneficial in itself?
Yeah, so actually what we found is that it's not necessarily clearing lactate faster.
Okay.
It's more about sort of the conversion and an alternate pathway. So rather than going down gluconeogenesis pathway in the liver, it's actually converting into acetate and propionate, which in turn have different benefits on the host. And this could be energy source, but also anti-inflammatory. And that's kind of, you know, I think the notion of short chain fatty acids in themselves, again, having these benefits has been somewhat established. I think what's unique about Vianella, it's specifically enriched in these endurance athletes. And it's this really interesting sort of like symbiotic pathway where now it's converting a byproduct of exercise associated with fatigue and now turning it into something beneficial to the host to sort of combat fatigue. This is what we then sort of showed in preclinical studies where we isolated Vianella and we provided it to animals compared to a control and found that there was a 13% increase in run till exhaustion in animals that consumed Vianella. So, and this is sort of like the gold standard in microbiome research. You could see all sorts of cool correlations, but then how do you go to an actual causal functional effect? So that sort of full stack process, if you will, was pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, very exciting. That brings to mind just a question is, do you think that what comes first, essentially? Do you think that athletic people create an environment through all the exercise they do that allows certain microbes to thrive in this kind of this forward cycle? Or do you think that athletes possess a specific microbiome first, and this is what kind of brings them to athletic success?
Yeah, I'm just a huge believer in form fits function. And again, evolution. So, and this is what we've seen, right? If you, live a more sedentary lifestyle, the need for a microorganism that's gonna, thrive on lactate as a carbon source, it's probably not gonna be super competitive with the trillions of other microbes in the gut. But if you run 100 miles at a time and your body is constantly producing more lactic acid, that sort of carbon source is going to be more readily available in the gut, and it's going to, give organisms like Vianella an advantage to now utilize it and sort of stick around to become more abundant. But what I will say is, going back to naturally inspired, biologically inspired engineering, you look at Vianella and how it blooms in abundance after strenuous exercise when lactate increases. But now think about that from an engineering perspective. Imagine now isolating Vianella and then turning into a probiotic that could be almost preemptive or preventative. So now you have enriched levels of it in your gut. So that way it's constantly producing propionate or short chain fatty acids. And as you're exercising or even before you're exercising, you now have short chain fatty acids that could now serve as an energy source or combat, inflammation. So it's kind of like learning what happens in nature and now using that to sort of reprogram or recode health or performance from sort of like a probiotic intervention.
This is the work that you guys are doing, correct?
Yeah. So, we talk about, hypothesis and theory and then research to sort of validate that hypothesis. And that leads to all sorts of cool academic discoveries and, research publications. But really, and this is again, coming out of the Wyss Institute, our mantra is really focused on translating, discoveries into real world applications that could have beneficial impacts on society, right? We don't do research just to keep it in the lab. We do it to ultimately find ways to improve human or planetary health. So translation is a huge component of biomedical or biotech research. And this is effectively what Fit Biomics is doing. We spun out of Harvard 5 years ago. We had this foundation with the research and our publication. And now our goal, you know, what we've been doing the past 5 years is actually taking those discoveries and turning them into real world products. You know, and that's many, that's involved so many different components, right? I mean, think about, you have this lab scale discovery, you know, one, how do you sort of de-risk manufacturing and go from, let's say, 1 liter of, you know, batch fermentation to like industrial levels of fermentation where you have kilograms of Vianella or other athlete derived microbes that are food grade and, you know, meet all sorts of, you know, GMP and all sorts of, you know, quality controls. Then to your point, how do you go from preclinical studies to actually doing functional validation in human clinical studies? But to your point, the ultimate goal is, okay, we've identified these microbes unique or enriched in these elite athletes. And now we want to turn these into probiotics that everyday consumers could utilize, not just for athletic performance, but things like gut health, sleep health, fatigue, you know, strength, recovery. So it's less about athletic performance and more about human performance, human health, and human longevity.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I have a few questions I want to circle back to, but I'd like to talk a little bit about Nella, which is your athletic drive performance probiotic that is on the market already. Can you just describe a little bit like what types of strains of bacteria are in it and how did you decide what to include? And essentially you said it's for everyone, but what are some of the benefits people can expect to get if they were taking it?
Yeah, so I guess this is a great, you know, I feel like with FitBiomics, it's a great foundation. So We've already alluded to the fact that, you know, FitBiomics' mission is not to create better athletes. It's not about athletic performance. It's about human performance, health, and longevity. We're just learning from what works in these really elite phenotypes. If you think about FitBiomics, really what we're doing is creating this innovation platform, this discovery platform, where ultimately the goal is to have thousands of these different microbes for numerous functional applications. For us, where we want to start with, you know, clearly Vianella was one discovery for lactic acid metabolism, fatigue, and endurance. But really, I think even before then, if you just look at probiotics as a market, right, you know, you're talking about like a $60 billion market. You know, most of the probiotics are lactobacillus species. They come from food, baby poop, animals, the environment. They've been around for decades, very little innovation. So again, everything we do is hypothesis driven. Our thought was, well, what if we could find better versions of lactobacillus, but that come from the GI of these super performers, right? What if we could find variants of lactobacillus that, whether they're acquired through diet, whether they're acquired through exercise, they're basically naturally functioning and thriving in the microbiome of super performers. And that's what Nella is. These are actually genetic variants of lactobacillus. So there's the Plantarum, Rhamnosus, and Acidophilus, but they are naturally sourced from elite athlete microbiomes. What we did was, we purified them, we manufactured them, and then we actually did a bunch of different human clinical validation studies. We ran an open label study with 250 people. We followed that up by a blinded placebo-controlled study with a professional soccer club. And what we found was statistically significant benefits for people that consumed Nella in things like bowel movements and digestion, but also things as improved quality of sleep and improved energy. So what we effectively did was form, fits, function, isolate probiotics from elite athletes and provided them to everyday people to drive these interesting physiological benefits. And you might expect things like benefits in bowel movements and digestion, but the notion of improved quality of sleep, like that was something very exciting and quite frankly, a little bit unexpected, but we've sort of like continued to build upon that and now have interesting sort of like mechanism of action studies that we're learning from as well. So again, the premise is if you sort of go into the biology of these super performers, you're going to find microbes that have all sorts of really cool and interesting benefits.
Yeah. No, there's just, I'm so excited for the future and I'm sure you guys are going to make like many discoveries from here on out. We were talking a lot about specifically endurance athletes and how they have this bacteria that metabolizes lactate, can help reduce fatigue and like anti-inflammatory, all these things. So I'm curious, what type of research in the future are you looking at different like subsets of athletes. So like maybe like power athletes or strength athletes or athletes that are more like less endurance, more like anaerobic performance. Like what are some of, maybe you can just speak to one or two of the suspected mechanisms or like if they're not using lactate, like what, other pathways might they be enhancing?
It's such an exciting question and I appreciate you asking it because I just, you know, if we take a step back and sort of like go through this iterative process and this journey, right? So think about the beginning. Let's look at the 0.01% of the human population. What's unique or enriched in them that confers physiological benefits? Can we identify that? Can we translate that? And now can that help broader populations? Everything is form, fits, function. By the way, Nella and Vianella are form, fits, function. Vianella, you know, again, ultramarathon runners, they run 100 miles at a time. They have elevated levels of lactate. So they have elevated levels of Vianella to eat it and convert it into something beneficial. Even if you look at Nella, we mentioned sleep. Like I love talking about this because sleep is the number one performance enhancing drug, right? In athletes and the general population. So think about this. You're working with athletes that perhaps have optimized sleep patterns. And now you're identifying microbes that can help drive that. Translate them, and now you could help everyone with sleep. I think you hit it on the head. We are building programs for strength. We're building programs for recovery. We're building programs for cognition. But these are just a subset, right? I mean, think about anything, even non-consumer, right? Think about Vianella. You mentioned insulin sensitivity. Actually, one of our scientific co-founders recently received a government grant to study Vianella in the context of pre-diabetic populations and exercise resistance. So think about exercise as medicine, right? And now utilizing these beneficial microbes to help different subsets of the population be healthier, right? And that could be just preventative health measures to keep everyone prevent disease, but it could also be potentially, you know, folks that have some form of chronic disease that now we could sort of help them get healthier. So you know, really what's exciting about this field is that there's so many opportunities and we literally are just scratching the surface. And the more research we do, the more discoveries we make, and it leads to more possibilities with the technology.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much on the horizon. That's thank you for sharing all that. It's making me excited to follow your research for sure. I would like to touch back on, you mentioned a couple of times, the gut-brain connection. And could you just speak on this a little bit? Because it really is truly incredible to think that our gut microbiome is creating metabolites and having an influence on like our brain and our cognition. But then how might this influence athletic performance? Like, have you done any studies on like anything in this realm with athletes?
Yeah, so in general, gut-brain access, as we mentioned, I think the famous sort of anecdote is, you know, the microbiome, the gut microbiome produces 95% of serotonin, you know, neurotransmitter. Our microbes produce, GABA, you know, melatonin, you know, all these sorts of things that basically through the vagus nerve then interact with our brain and things like that. There's all sorts of other things too, you know, even short chain fatty acids, you know, inflammation, that could also affect sort of brain functionality as well. So again, whether it's neurotransmitters, whether it's all sorts of other sorts of nutritional macromolecules or short chain fatty acids, a lot of this has an effect on brain development and functionality. You know, I mentioned we're building programs for cognition and mood. In general, again, the same principle applies. If you're working with these elite athletes that could sort of like withstand all sorts of pressure and have all sorts of like mental resiliency, if you will, especially from a professional athlete perspective, you know, we're looking for things that might be enriched in them. That's still somewhat in the discovery phase, but the same principle applies. What are microbes that are having, you know, driving neurotransmitter biosynthesis or things of that nature? Can we identify them? Can we translate them and then functionally validate them?
Okay. I'd like to get your thoughts on one thing. I read a headline that was basically talking about how the researchers had discovered a specific gut-brain connection in mice that could actually increase motivation to exercise. Do you think like it's possible that one day people would be able to take a probiotic and potentially want to exercise or have increased motivation to?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was an amazing paper. I forgot what the metabolite or molecular pathway that they identified, but again,
I think it was like dopamine signaling or something from, that's all I remember, but.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, again, you know, not even just like, you know, there's even a notion now, just anything like desire to eat and how you could sort of use that for sort of like obesity or, you know, preventing that or sort of weight loss and things of that nature. Again, all these microbes producing all sorts of interesting neurotransmitters or metabolites that have, you know, effects on, again, function, brain functionality, desires, appetites, mood, cognition. All these things are possible. And, you know, I think within the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to have just such a wide range of discoveries that we're looking to translate into modalities, both for consumer and non-consumer applications.
Okay. Circling back again, a few more questions I want to ask you. Sure. A term we hear, a lot of people hear when it related to the microbiome is leaky gut. And I was wondering if you could just talk on what leaky gut is and if this is relevant to athletic performance and recovery or inflammation and all that.
Yeah, again, I think all of this is relevant to athletic performance, mm-hmm. because it's relevant to human performance.
True.
And again, if you're not at your optimal biological state, if you're not at your optimal fitness, it's going to impact numerous aspects of your life. You know, and leaky gut, it's interesting, a lot of these, like even things like IBS, I think years ago, it was hard to medically define. So it was unclear how you sort of treat it. Same thing with leaky gut. You know, I'm not entirely sure it was easy to medically define and then therefore how to treat it. But, you know, the basic premise is that you have issues with your gut barrier and your epithelial lining. And basically because of this, you're having, you know, all sorts of like inflammatory biomarkers, you know, or metabolites or LPS or bacteria that's sort of seeping into the bloodstream. And this is causing issues from like an inflammatory standpoint. So as you might imagine, even think about longevity and aging, you know, there's a term now, inflammaging. So, you know, if you have all sorts of oxidative stress or inflammation, and a lot of this could be caused by, you know, what you eat, it might sort of lead to, you know, DNA damage or cellular damage, which could impact sort of your health. So I think leaky gut falls under that. And you could imagine if you have probiotic interventions that strengthen sort of like tight junctions or mucosal lining and are preventing sort of inflammatory byproducts entering into your bloodstream, then ultimately that's going to be beneficial for you. So I guess that's a long-winded response to saying it's a way of just shoring up your gut lining and making sure that nothing bad or inflammatory is getting into the bloodstream.
Athletes generally eat like overall a better diet, or most of them do. So how do you know that maybe it's not the exercise and it's not like they're eating more carbohydrates or more fiber rich, or do you control for these things when you're doing studies?
I love this question because I'll give you the scientific answer and then I'll give you maybe more of a nuanced practical response.
Okay.
And so the answer is yes. You know, when we collect stool, we also collect a bunch of metadata. So every time we collect a stool sample, we collect, you know, nutritional information, what an athlete sort of ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, any snacks. We collect information on sleep. We collect information on exercise routines for the day. And by the way, before even doing this, we collect a bunch of metadata on just historical health information, historical dietary information. So we could collect those variables and now link those to whatever metagenomic information we're getting. And then ultimately, when you look at sort of, let's say, an athlete's or non-athlete's gut composition, you could weigh which variables are sort of like contributing the most. And again, you now compare athletes over time, you compare athletes to other athletes, you compare athletes to non-athletes, and you have all this information and you use all sorts of bioinformatics to show what the driving force is. You know, for instance, in a case like Vianella, clearly it was enriched after strenuous exercise. Clearly there's a link to lactic acid metabolism and all that. Diet unquestionably, you know, contributes perhaps the most to microbiome composition. So my feeling on this is whether it's exercise or diet, it's almost irrelevant. At the end of the day, we're looking to identify things that are unique or enriched in the gut of these super performers. And then we want to sort of translate them. We want to isolate them and do functional validations to study, you know, to see if they actually confer a physiological benefit. But this is where I think, you know, there's this interesting dynamic between food accessibility. Not everyone has the means to train like an elite athlete. And by the way, not everyone has the means to eat like an elite athlete, right? We spoke about our food system, processed foods, salt, sugar, fat. You know, these elite athletes, because of training, because of diet, are really shaping their microbiomes in a manner that's catering to optimal physiology. So how that's happening, it's a combination of things, but it's almost irrelevant as long as we can identify things that are benefiting them and apply that to everyone else. And that's the end, that's sort of like the end game for this, right? It's democratizing bioscience, democratizing health, right? And making these biological modalities that only a few people have and making that accessible to everyone. So that way everyone could have an opportunity to be healthy and have opportunities to longevity solutions. So that's my, you know, more practical take on this. It's almost irrelevant. We just need to find what's working and now be able to provide that to everyone.
I like that. That makes sense. It's like, rather than worrying about all these little nuances, having all these, like trying to tease out these things that might not matter, just like what does matter and working backwards from there.
Yeah. It, you know, it goes back to sports, right? Especially when you go into the NCAA tournament, you know, and the mantra is just like win in advance. And like, even in, you know, the NBA playoffs, it's like, you know, Nikola Jokic said this the other day, it's like, whether you win by 20, you win by one, like a win is a win, right? And I think that's our goal, finding beneficial microbes that we can now translate and provide to everyone.
So cool. I love the work you're doing. We talked about this briefly, but I guess what is next on the horizon for you in FitBiomics? Like, what is the next thing that you're trying to roll out here? What are you most excited about?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have Nella on the market. It's helping everyone from Olympic medalists to world champions to national champions to just everyday people, right? To non-athletes. And I think obviously, you know, clinically validated for gut health and sleep health. And we really want to spread awareness around that, right? And we want everyone to benefit from things like Nella. We spoke about Vianella. I'm excited to say that later this year, we'll actually be bringing it to market, right? So you're talking about years of research, discovery, preclinical, you know, studies, clinical studies, regulatory approval, manufacturing, de-risking. It's a long process. We actually initiated something called Project V. If you go to our website, you know, fitbiomics.com, we're actually providing early access to Vianella in this sort of like first of its kind research initiative. It's going to be like a blinded placebo controlled study where people now provide insights on how they're benefiting from Vianella on a daily basis. And again, our goal is to get Vianella to the hands of as many people as possible and understand how it's potentially benefiting people from a diverse, you know, kind of spectrum. You know, I mentioned obviously the notion of building programs for strength, recovery, cognition. But if you think about our discovery platform, the goals have thousands of athletes from diverse phenotypes, right? So strength, endurance, agility, cognition, and really just that wealth of natural diversity. What are the next, you know, microorganisms we could develop? And then, you know, if you think about even moving beyond athletes, what are the other sort of unique or elite phenotypes out there that we could learn from? So again, you know, I think we're just scratching the surface. And, you know, whether it's current products to future programs to future discovery platforms, there's so much that we're looking to do to continue to innovate.
Yeah, well, I definitely cannot wait to continue to follow the work you're doing. I did actually notice the Vianella Vianella Project V, sorry, that was what you're talking about. And I was looking at that. Does someone, if they wanted to sign up to be part of this research trial, do they have to be in the United States? Or I'm sure there's an application to fill out, but are there any like broad criteria people have to meet?
So right now we are pretty much just United States. You know, we're still in an early stage bioscience company. Obviously, I mean, I think we could ship some out if you're interested in trying it. You know, we'd love to do that. Obviously, we don't want to. Our mantra is accessibility, so we could try and work around that. But yeah, you know, I think folks that are interested, they could go online, they fill out 5 questions, and then we'll follow up with people and their inclusion exclusion criteria that we go through. But our goal is to sort of provide it to as many people as possible.
Very cool. And so for the probiotic that is already on market, Nella, if anyone is listening and they want to try it out, I'd assume you just go to your website and it's easy to order and they could buy it from there.
Yeah. So fitbiomics.com. We have various, pages on the website. You could learn more about our company. You could learn more about Via Nella and Project V. You could learn more about our research. And then, of course, you could go to sort of our Nella shop page, learn more about the probiotic. We will be publishing a manuscript, that we spoke about, sort of the open label study and clinical trials that we did. That'll be coming out later this year. But, you know, right now it's $60 a month for Nella probiotics. That's $2 a day. So it's a lot cheaper than coffee. It's a lot cheaper than prebiotic sodas. It's cheaper than, protein drinks. And again, this is something to benefit gut health and sleep health. So it's helping, thousands of people today, and our goal is for it to help millions of people in the near term.
Very exciting. For everyone listening, I'll link to everything below. So it's easy. People can just click on the show notes, find the link. As we close out here, I always like to ask, what is one thing that you would like people listening to take away from this conversation, or something that, like a lasting thought that you'd like to leave people with?
Yeah, it's a great question. I always talk about sort of just the journey in general. We believe, it's our goal as, I think, bioscientists and entrepreneurs to just think outside of the box, right? And kind of be disruptive in nature and challenge the status quo. We don't believe in science fiction, we believe in science fact. And it's our goal to like have these crazy ideas and hypotheses and then sort of like systematically validate them and then translate them. But the thing I'll also just say too is really our mission is accessibility, and equity, and democratizing this technology. And I think that's what really motivates us. It's this notion of how can we think big? How can we rethink and reimagine health, right? From a biological perspective, from elite phenotypes, from the microbiome. How can we rapidly de-risk and validate that and translate it, but then ultimately make that affordable and accessible to everyone, right? Because if we're not doing that, then there's no reason to even start this journey. And I think the last thing I'll just say is, I think athletics and sports as a medium, and entertainment and the arts, and we go back to like tuba playing and fame, there's a great need in society today to like bridge the gap for diverse communities. And I think, what we're doing ultimately is like bridging the gap between cutting edge technology and almost pop culture mediums, if you will, to create something that's transformative, but ultimately more tangible to a lot of different people. I think technology could be a great unifying factor, right? And I think that's what we need. We need to find ways to bring people together and provide them access to different forms of nutrition, health, and technology. And that's maybe a convoluted concept, but it also comes from my background in Greenwich Village, Bain Performing Arts, St. John's Basketball, NYU, Harvard, Wyss Institute, Fitbiomics. And I think we want this to be participatory, and that's what's leading to evolution and progress. So that's a little bit all over the place, but I think this is what we believe in and why we do what we do.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And I can tell you're so passionate about everything that you're doing. And yeah, I completely agree with you on so many levels. So as we close out here, is there any place you'd like to direct people besides the FitBiomics website? Is there any personal Instagram or handles or anything if people want to connect or follow what you're doing?
Yeah. So fitbiomics.com, you know, we're also on Instagram at FitBiomics, you know, we're on LinkedIn, you know, FitBiomics, we're on Twitter. But yeah, just come to our website, check us out. We'd love to hear what people think. We'd love everyone to, you know, participate with us on this journey, get their feedback, but ultimately, you know, have access to these next gen sort of microbiome modalities. So, but thank you for having me. This has been exciting. It's great to see another fellow athlete that's now going into sort of the bioscience space and, you know, what you're doing in terms of bringing people together to educate communities on emerging technology, I think is very excited and very much needed. So kudos to you for leading the charge on that.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure to have this conversation.
That's all for now. Thank you for listening, and I hope it was valuable to you. Please remember to check out the show notes for all the resources mentioned and links to connect with our guest. If you would like to support what I'm doing, the best way to help me grow the show is to subscribe, of course, but also share it with your friends and family or on social media. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can also leave a 5-star review and or a comment. A special thank you, as always, to Tyler Gatto for composing the theme music for the podcast, and to Wyatt Pavlik for the excellent audio engineering each and every episode. So until next time, keep training hard, keep eating plants, and take care.